Welcome to A Couple Cooks, a show celebrating the joy of home cooking. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex.
And we're a husband and wife who love to cook.
Join us each week for stories, seasonal recipes, and inspiration for cooking at home and eating well.
For more, you can find us on our blog, acouplecooks.com.
Welcome back, everybody.
To episode 5 of the A Couple Cooks podcast.
We're glad you're here.
We are. It's been so fun hearing from you, knowing that you're out there and that you're listening, and just hearing ideas and feedback from you.
I hope you guys enjoyed your Thanksgiving. I know a few of you were listening to our podcast. In fact, at one of our Thanksgiving get-togethers, some of my aunts were helping my not-so-tech-savvy uncles figure out how to download so they could tune in.
Yes.
So if you have some friends who don't know what an internet radio is, I'd recommend you getting over there and helping them out, finding a couple cooks.
Please do. And if you have a chance, you could give us an iTunes rating. Let us know what you think. So this week, we have a great show planned. We're starting off with a wonderful recipe that is not about stuffing or turkey. It is a pad thai that's fresh and delicious. Kind of a fun take on the pad thai. We talk about how we got started cooking in the first place and some of our biggest cooking inspirations.
We bring a real life farmer right here into the A Couple Cooks studio. And she brings some of her local produce pulled right out of the ground, and we talk about what you might cook with it.
And then we talk about podcasts. What are your favorites and some of ours? So we're looking forward to it. Stay tuned. This past weekend was the Thanksgiving holiday, and we had a house full of people, kids running around everywhere, and we ate a ton of food. We're stuffed.
We are, and we are getting a bit tired of leftovers. I am a leftovers believer, but there's only so many times you can rework stuffing and still enjoy it.
Alex may have had a stuffing grilled cheese this afternoon for lunch.
True confessions.
So we are just craving vegetables, something light and healthy. And so today's featured recipe is spaghetti squash pad thai. It's a recipe we made about a year ago for a couple cooks. And it's light, it's really flavorful, and has a lot of different colored vegetables, yet it's very satisfying. So what you need to do to make this recipe is cook a spaghetti squash. I believe we talked about spaghetti squash in episode 1.
I think so.
So what you got to do is pick up one of those spaghetti squash, cut it in half, put it in the oven. Now it takes about 45 minutes to roast. So it might not be the best for a weeknight. You may want to make this in advance. And I just wanted to mention a lot of the food prep that Alex and I do is on the weekends because we have a lot more time. So if we were making this recipe for the week, we might roast up the squash and maybe even chop the veggies beforehand, maybe on a Saturday or Sunday. Usually Sunday we do a lot of cooking, and then we would have it ready to just cook together during the week. Some other things in this recipe, we've got some chili sauce, soy sauce, lime, cilantro, some bean sprouts and peanuts. It's just a really great and beautiful recipe with an Asian flair. And I love it, Alex.
I love it. It's got all that Southeast Asian flavor that you are looking for, yet it's simple and uses ingredients you might be familiar with or have on hand.
And pad thai is one of my all-time favorite foods, I would say. Pad thai and dol sot bibimbap. If anyone knows what that is, just let us know if you love it. It's a Korean rice dish that we are head over heels for.
And when she says all-time favorite, she means all-time favorite two Asian dishes that she thought of right now.
Hey.
She's got a lot of favorites.
So that recipe is on a couple cooks. I'll put it in the show notes and let us know if you try it out. All right, it's time for our recipe picks of the week, where Alex and I each pick a recipe that we've never tried but would love to make.
And we think you should try it too.
And I would like to say that we do not know what each other's picks are going into this. It's always a surprise.
There's some chance that we could both pick the same recipe.
So Alex, go first this week. What's your pick?
All right, well, mine comes from the beautiful cookbook, Seven Spoons by Tara O'Brady. Toronto's finest recipe developer.
And a beautiful writer.
So the recipe is called Mushrooms with Greens and Toast. And this is just exactly my sort of recipe. It is a pan full of different types of mushrooms all chopped up, along with some chopped up pieces of toast, some bright greens, whatever's in season that week, and some cheese and bread. And it's a one pot meal that is going to please everyone. A little bit rustic, but also feels a little bit fancy.
Can I see the picture? That looks fabulous. Though it does remind me a little bit of stuffing. Kind of having some
maybe PTSD. I still have stuffing on the mind. So you can find this recipe. We'll link to it on the blog. I think the venerable Smitten Kitchen has it on her site.
Perfect.
What do you have?
So my pick this week, I'm kind of going in the Asian theme again. It is red curry lentils from the blog Pinch of Yum. Lindsay Ostrom is a friend of ours, and she has made these lentils with some red curry paste, garam masala, curry powder, turmeric, ginger, and garlic all mixed together. And the reason I picked it is not only because it sounds fantastic, but because we had some questions on Instagram about when the cool weather comes along, how do you fight your cravings for mac and cheese and all those comforting homey dishes? And I was thinking about that last week and was just craving lentils for some reason and craving spicy curry type dishes. And I think that's my answer of a great food for when the weather is cold and you want to feel warm and cozy is a curry. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Or disagree. You can disagree if you'd like.
No, I really love lentils and could eat them for every meal. And they are comforting.
So thanks for those questions. And we will link to both of these recipes in the show notes.
Let us know if you make them.
So we wanted to share with you guys a little bit about how we got started cooking, because believe it or not, we have not always been interested in cooking.
It's true. So Sonia, why don't you start us out? How did you cook about 10 years ago?
Or the better question is probably, how didn't I cook
Good
10
point.
Years ago? I was not interested in cooking and food at all. I bought a lot of microwave dinners. A lot of breakfast cereal that I ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and
I remember
snack.
Trips to Trader Joe's where we only bought like frozen food and 8 boxes of the same cereal.
Yes, and maybe you who are listening are in that place now, and that's okay. Sometimes it's really hard to be able to think of cooking food for yourself, especially if you're single. This is when I was single, and actually getting married is kind of what was part of the impetus of us to start cooking. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think we enjoyed eating together and had the idea that maybe we should have some people over for dinner. In fact, we had some friends, good friends of ours, who had us over for dinner and made us sushi one time when we were newly married, and it just blew our minds.
Yes.
They worked together to make the perfect sushi rice to roll out these rolls. I'm sure there were other sides in addition to the sushi, probably soup, and it was an incredible meal. And we realized, hey, we could put our talents together and maybe actually make ourselves a decent meal.
Well, actually, we got a little competitive about it, and we said, let's try to one-up them.
Which is about impossible.
Have a really, really fabulous meal for them. So I went ahead to start researching, how the heck do I make a fancy meal? And French food seemed to be fancy to me.
It is fancy. So not I just thought, to you.
Let's do something French. And in my research, I came across a woman named Julia Child. Now, I thought she was just some old lady on a cooking show that didn't really know anything about fancy food.
Well, you were 2/3 right.
Right. So I got one of her cookbooks, and I started paging through it, and I just kind of fell in love with her personality. She's so down to earth, and in the little head notes before each recipe, she would kind of explain what the dish was, and she would say how to make it and give you some tips, and she just seemed like a real person who had gone from not knowing anything about food to cooking. And I got really inspired, and we decided to do our first French dinner, and it actually turned out with some of her recipes.
So we went from that cookbook to finding her DVDs from the library and burning through a bunch of old cooking episodes from the 60s and 70s.
Which were pretty hilarious. But yeah, she was the mother of all cooking shows, basically. And then we started getting into other cooking shows. We looked up Alton Brown, has some great shows, the show Good Eats. We kind of fell in love with that, where he talks about different ingredients and the science behind things. And
super practical ways to make things and make them reliably.
Right.
Reliably.
Reliably. And then we got into Jamie Oliver, who is this fantastic chef, and he's so passionate about cooking, and he has a great accent. We just had fun watching him. And yeah, so basically what we're trying to say here is finding other people who are excited and passionate about cooking can really get you interested in cooking yourself.
And this might be a real life person like our friends Lynn and Kirk or your grandma, or it might be a TV personality like Julia Child, who had already passed by the time we fell in love with her, but she was still able to teach us so much.
Yeah, so we're just wondering for you, who are your cooking inspirations? What personalities have inspired you to start cooking? Or maybe you're in the process of getting inspired and you're just kind of putting feelers out there, trying out some cooking shows. Let us know who you love to watch, or maybe it's like Alex said, maybe it's your grandma or your mom or your friend or your sister. Who inspires you? Let us know. In our last episode, we spoke with Mario Batali, the famous restaurateur and chef, about how the true rock stars in the industry are farmers. And so we thought it would be fun to bring in an actual farmer. We brought in Amy Matthews. She farms here in Indianapolis at South Circle Farm, and we talked to her about urban farming and some seasonal produce that she brought us. So here we go. Amy Matthews of South Circle Farm, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Thanks, Anya.
So we wanted to have you on because in our last episode, we talked to Mario Batali, and he mentioned that the true rock stars are farmers. So we wanted to have a true rock star on our podcast. Do you feel like a rock star?
Wow. what are the characteristics of a true rock star? I don't think I feel like a rock star. No.
Do you have any tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos. A lot of my jeans are ripped, though. That's like from true work. Yeah, I work long hours and make very little money, and I'm usually dirty. So you could choose your own conclusion.
So describe your farm to us, because it's not 500 acres and a bunch of tractors.
Yeah, it's a really different kind of farm, but it's one that's, you know, gaining a lot of traction around the country. It's a 1.5 acre plot. It's actually downtown, though, which is the most unusual thing about it. It's 2 miles south of the center of Indianapolis. And so I lease the land from a nonprofit organization that owns it, and I operate as a business. So I intensively farm about 1.25 acres. So what that means is, you know, every plot, every bed gets pretty intensely managed. Everything gets at least 2 crops per year. Some of the plots will get 3 crops per year. But I grow a wide variety of vegetables. I grow a lot of salad greens, a lot of root vegetables like carrots and radishes and those kind of things. I grow a lot of tomatoes and cooking greens. I do a wide variety, but I pack a lot into a small space.
Nice. And your produce, I must say, is some of the best that I've seen in the city.
Thank
no
you
offense
very much.
To other farmers, but do you have any sort of secret to what makes your produce so beautiful?
Thank you very much. I think what I end up doing, because I have a really small acreage to basically make a living on, I have to manage everything really intensively. So when it's early spring, everything's got a fabric covering over every bed, and that really protects things from insects and from wind and from extreme, you know, fluctuations in temperature. So then comes summer, everything has drip irrigation, and some things like lettuce in the summer, I put shade cloth over, you know, to protect it, and insect netting over it to protect it from insects. And so basically the secret is a lot of careful planning, a lot of attention to each crop, and then everything just kind of gets an extra measure taken for it, whether that's you know, the irrigation or the shade or the variety selection. But it's just very, very detail oriented, I'd say.
Wow. That's a lot of extra love for those veggies.
Yeah. I do love them. That's true.
Maybe Alex could take some notes here for our garden.
Sun is a required element.
Yeah, you do need sun. That's true.
Well, speaking of that beautiful produce, you have brought some for us today.
I did, yeah.
And we don't know what it is. She has a little mystery basket over there. So why don't you take each piece out, and we'll talk about what it is and say something we might make with it.
Sure, sounds good. The first thing is...
Yes.
Ooh.
Beautiful. So what I have here is, it's a large bulb, and then there's some fronds coming off the top, and it looks, they have these little fuzzy portions that look kind of like dill. But
mm-hmm. What does it smell like?
What is this? Smells kind of like licorice a little bit. What is it, Alex?
We got fennel.
It is fennel.
We love fennel. We did not know what fennel was before we started cooking. And we have a great soup recipe that I'll put in the show notes, actually, using fennel. We just saute it in the beginning of the soup instead of an onion, and it adds a really great flavor to it. I'm not quite sure how I would describe it.
Yummy.
Yummy, right. Do you have a good word to describe fennel flavor, Amy?
I'd say it's surprising.
Yeah, I would agree. And if you eat it raw, it does taste a lot like licorice. So you can just thinly slice it and make a salad of it. Delicious. All right. I'm holding on to this one. All right. What else do you got over there?
Next item. I have a bouquet of 3 different things, a variation on the same crop.
Nice. So here's another thing that I would not have known what to do with before I started cooking. It is a large, I have some large bunches of purple and green leaves. And Well, I know that it's bok choy, but I would not have known that many years ago. And bok choy is interesting. We don't cook with it too often, but you can put it in stir fries. What else would you do with it, Alex?
I don't feel like I'm too creative with bok choy. Maybe I need to expand my repertoire, Amy.
Well, that's not my layer of expertise. I grow them in the fall because they're so cold hardy, and there's just so many different kinds of them. Like this kind is called tatsoi. There's one here that's called komatsuna, red and green, but they're both related to broccoli and kale, so they're also really good for you. But yeah, I usually end up stir frying them, to be honest.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, what else have we got?
Did these all come out of the ground this week?
They did, yeah.
Today?
Awesome. This one came out of the ground today.
So this looks like a huge carrot, but it is white. And what is it, Alex?
I think it's a parsnip.
I think so. I always get parsnip and turnip confused for some reason.
It is a parsnip, good job.
I would have to say we don't cook a ton with parsnips.
I only ever roast them.
Is that what you would do with it, Amy?
They are delicious roasted. I think glazing them and roasting is really good. And that we've had a couple of really good hard freezes here now at the end of November. So this is actually the very first parsnip of the season that I have taken out of the ground.
Nice. Well, thank you for sharing him with us.
Well, and it's gigantic and unlike any parsnip you'd usually find in the grocery store. It's big and beautiful.
Okay, the last thing I have is an easy one for you.
Okay. This is suspenseful. All right, nice. So what I have here kind of looks like the parsnip that we just talked about, but it's different colors, a beautiful purple, yellow, orange, and even white. And they are carrots, rainbow carrots. They're beautiful.
And if you've never bought carrots from the farmer's market, I demand that you drive to your nearest farmer's market and try to find some, because they taste so good, so sweet, so hearty compared to any carrot that you've had straight from the grocery store.
Yes, and I've heard that carrots used to be lots of different colors, and then for some reason they were only kind of grown in the orange variety. Do you know anything about that, Amy?
I think the first ones were yellow. The first natural ones were white or yellow. But the reason I grow so many different colors, one is that kids tend to really love the purple ones. It's just so novel.
Yes, or me.
Everyone,
I love them.
And then it's just a great example for people of eating the whole rainbow of vegetables, but you can do it in one. So there's all, each color has a different antioxidant palette. And so that's fun to remember, is that eating the rainbow is very important.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this beautiful food.
You're welcome.
How many different vegetables do you have right now in November?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I'd say dozens for sure. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, last question. You were mentioning to me earlier that the only thing that gets you through the day when you're farming is podcasts. Is this true?
This is true. I don't know the only thing, but it gets me through some long chores and some bad weather times, I'll say that.
So what's a favorite podcast that you like to listen to?
Ooh. I have a top 10 list, but I've really been enjoying lately one called Memory Palace, and the host is brilliant. He tells wonderful short stories that are true from history, but he gives them such a nice storytelling spin and a personal spin that those are wonderful to pass the time.
We will have to check that out. I can't say I know that one, but I will soon.
Yeah, I recommend it.
All right. Well, thanks again so much, Amy. We really appreciate it. You are a true rock star.
Why, thank you.
Thanks so much to Amy for coming on the show. If If you want to learn more about her farm or see some photos, we have a post from last year when we visited her farm, and I'll add that to the show notes.
And if you guys have never visited a local farmer, I would highly recommend it. We always walk away completely impressed by the dedication, by the food they produce, and it's not that hard. Just go to the farmer's market and ask somebody if you can visit their operation.
All right, well, we're almost out of time, but before we go, we wanted to talk a bit about podcasts, because we love podcasts, and we know you do too, because I just wrote a post about our favorite podcasts, and we got a lot of great feedback from y'all. So, I just said y'all, and I'm from Minnesota.
I wonder where that came from.
What's wrong with this picture? So, we mentioned some of our favorites in different categories, food, edutainment, which is educational entertainment, which is the most fun, and stories and just overall life. So what's one, Alex, you particularly love to listen to?
Well, I'm going to go with the heavy hitter Radiolab because It is edutainment at its best. You learn about science, you learn about philosophy. Every episode, you just see the world in a different way. And that's the power of podcast, I think.
Definitely. And I think one of my favorites, I'll say, well, I can never pick one, so I'm going to say two.
No,
is that okay?
Just one.
I'm going to say two. So one of my favorites in the food category is called Radio Cherry Bomb. And it is a spinoff of the indie magazine Cherry Bomb, where Carrie Diamond and Claudia Wu interview some of the greatest people in food right now, specifically women in food. So I love it. There's always fun, inspirational people on there. And then I also really love Startup. Everyone's talking about Startup, aren't they? It's a podcast about a podcast company, and it's fantastic. So, those are some of our picks. If you want to check out the full list, it's over on A Couple Cooks. And let us know what your favorites are, because we're always looking for more to put in our little podcast app. We're kind of addicted to them. So let us know. All right. Well, that's all for today. We hope you've enjoyed our show. For more recipes and inspiration, see our website at acouplecooks.com or follow us on Instagram at acouplecooks. See you next time.
Bye.